The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Northwest Prime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. I'm your host, Lori Ness, a soldier on the front line of the mainstream. You can listen to this and other shows at northwestprime.com. And be sure to stay with Seattle Wave Radio 24/7, 365 for more great music and interviews. We're starting a movement of kindness, and we want you to join us. Let's get this show started. Welcome back to Northwest Prime. I'm your host again, Lori Ness. I'm here all the time. Never changes. Today, my guest is Matt Wilson. You may remember Matt's been on my show in the past. He's the founder and the creative director of Privateer Press, which is a fabulous and successful Seattle company, actually out of Bellevue. And Privateer Press has a lot of irons in the fire. They have a lot of creative people working over there, and they have some very exciting things going on. Matt was kind enough the last time he came on the show to kind of give me a video game tutorial 101 because I just didn't have a lot of background, and I'm a lot more educated than I was the last time we talked. I'm going to use my educated skills out on him today. And Matt is started a video game, and there's a Kickstarter program that to say it's successful would totally be an understatement. They blew through their goal of $550,000 in under 35 hours. So Matt's going to come on and tell us about the Kickstarter program, the video game, what's in store for Privateer Press, and what goals that they're meeting now that they've met their first goal so fast. There's now more things in line. And so, Matt, thanks for coming on. Are you there, Matt?
I'm here. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties.
Okay, there you are. Okay. Were you able to hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I did. I heard everything. So let me start over. Thank you for having me again.
I am thrilled to have you.
Are we doing all right?
Now this, Okay. Yeah, I can hear you just fine. So this Kickstarter program, why don't you tell everybody about your vision with the video game and then the Kickstarter program and then kind of where you see it going?
Sure. Well, at Privateer Press, 10 years ago, we started producing a tabletop miniatures game called War Machine. It's a game that's set in a fantasy setting called the Iron Kingdoms, where magic and technology work together. And the game is all about these big battles that are waged between warrior mages who are in command of these giant steam-powered robots and armies of crazy fighting warriors and monsters. And we've been wanting to create a video game expression of War Machine for years and years. And we have some fantastic partners in a Los Angeles-based studio called White Moon Dreams that we've been working together with for about 5 years to try and figure out how to do this. And for a few years, we were trying to navigate the greater traditional video game industry, sort of taking the tried and true route of finding a publisher or financiers to try and make a game. And that industry is in a crazy state of flux right now. There's been a lot of consolidation and layoffs and, you know, changes in that industry. And they're also on the cusp of a console generation shift, as well as still trying to figure out how mobile gaming is going to impact the traditional console gaming and where all this stuff fits together. So it's just sort of a crazy place to get a footing in right now, especially if you have a very specific thing that you want to do, which is what we did. So over the past year and a half, we've been watching the Kickstarter movement sort of and this crowdfunding movement blossom and embrace and support larger and larger projects. And after a lot of just analysis and soul searching and debate, we finally decided that, you know, this was an opportunity that we could that we could seize on to try and do this game on our own the way we wanted to do it and the way we believe that the players of War Machine and the player, you know, video game players at large are going to want to see this game made. And so that's why we went through the Kickstarter platform to try and get this done. We spent several months creating a presentation and developing the early core of the game so that we'd have something to show and be able to, you know, prove to people that this is something that we can do, that we're going to be able to deliver it and be able to have their confidence behind this this Kickstarter program. And we launched on the 10th, I guess that was 6 days ago. And, yeah, like you said at the beginning, in less than 35 hours, we hit our goal of $550,000, which is the sort of the what we set as the minimum threshold to be able to create sort of the most streamlined vision of this game. And at this point, we're just coming up on $810,000 of funding, which has allowed us to add a lot more features and content to the game and really is going to give us the budget to create a very polished experience. We've got 24 days left to go in the campaign, which is also going to give us a lot of opportunity to create more promotion and bring more eyes to this project and hopefully more support that will, again, increase the funding and just let us make a bigger and better project and, again, you know, do it all our own way.
Now, for people who might not understand what like I do, well, I'm just kind of just learning. But there's an easy buy-in for this. It's like $20 is the you can get into this for $20, right? And then it unlocks certain things for you as the player.
Yeah, Kickstarter is a really interesting kind of it's almost a game in itself the way it's developed over the last couple of years, right? Basically, the way Kickstarter works is you make an account there, and then you look through projects that you might want to back. And the idea is, to sort of like clarify, backers aren't making a donation. You know, a donation is money that's given without an expectation, right? When you donate money to something. And with Kickstarter, what you're doing is you're actually pledging money. And a pledge is a little bit different because a pledge has sort of a condition attached to it, right? As the backer, you're saying, I'm pledging this money to you in return for a promise that you're making me. And in our case, what we're promising to do is deliver this video game. Now, by putting those pledges in, what you're doing is actually funding the development of the game. So the game doesn't exist right now. We've started it. We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of development in it. To prove, you know, where we could take this and to be able to show it right now. But we need a lot more to actually get the game done. And we have a target release date of a year from now. So anybody who's pledging is basically helping us finance this game to get it done. And the more people that we are able to bring to it, the more it lets us do with the game. There's also with Kickstarter, the idea is to try and incentivize those pledges and to generate, you know, as much revenue from your product as possible, or your project as possible, by offering various rewards and incentives and things. And that's how the system is set up. So when you go onto a Kickstarter project, what you see is a description of the project and then a column of the rewards that the creator has set up. And in our case, it starts with a $20 pledge that gets you the game, and so a year from now, what we'll do is we'll send our backers a game via digital download, and it'll have everything in it that we've made at that point. There's more reward levels along the way that offer additional perks, exclusive kinds of things that you might have just in the game, as well as a lot of physical goods that we're able to manufacture as Privateer Press. And those are really designed to appeal to the people who play the tabletop game. So we're offering a bunch of exclusive miniatures, the small hobby kit that you won't be able to get anywhere else like this. And each one of those is designed to is manufactured so that it contributes additional funds to the budget of the video game. What's really neat about Kickstarter, though, is once the project passes its goal, you go into this overfunding period, and those are driven by what are called stretch goals. And so the project creators will design these stretch goals to at various levels, which will say, you know, once once we hit this amount of money, we'll be able to do this additional feature in the game, or we'll be able to offer you this other content. And in the case of the War Machine Tactics game that we're doing on Kickstarter, each one of those stretch goal levels that we hit allows us to put more content in the game, to create more features, and every one of those features and additional content will go into or will be made available to the backer for no cost. So basically what happens is that $20 pledge keeps becoming a greater and greater value proposition for the backer, because the more people that come to the project and the greater the amount of pledges rise, the more we can do with the project, and basically the more you're getting for your money. So it's a pretty crazy and interesting system.
So a lot of this seems then to be fan-driven, so to speak, because you're taking it as far as the fans are driving the movement as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of the reason that this was a viable proposition for us is because the tabletop game War Machine has been very successful. It's played all over the world. It has hundreds of thousands of people that are playing it. And so we knew that there was a community that wanted this game. We're in touch with that community every day. So we're aware of their desires and the kinds of things that they want to see happen with this property that they love. So we knew that by making sure we had great rewards to offer the people who play this game, that we'd be able to appeal to this community and get some initial support. What's been very satisfying, though, is that because of the rapid funding that we experienced in that first 2-day period, it's brought a lot of eyes from all kinds of media, the greater video game media at large, as well as even media beyond that. And every one of those opportunities has exposed more people to the project, and we're seeing a lot of people who have never seen War Machine before. They're unaware of the tabletop experience. They're they have an interest in video games, obviously, and that's what's drawing them to the project. But they don't know the property, and they're seeing this for the first time, and they're pledging. And so our community is growing exponentially at the moment as people come to this project. And some of that may actually sort of benefit the tabletop community as well, because we've seen a lot of comments of people saying, "Wow, I really want to try out the tabletop game now." But more than anything, it's expanding the awareness of the property, which is going to let us do a lot of great things with it in the future.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, because it is going to attract probably people who weren't playing the tabletop game. So is it easy transition for people who haven't played the tabletop game then to play the video game, and or will it be a benefit to those people who know the tabletop game to transition into the video game?
I think for anybody who's played the tabletop game, it offers a familiar experience, but something that's also unique and new, and so it's more of a complementary experience to the tabletop game. For anybody who has never experienced War Machine before, War Machine Tactics, the video game, is very accessible to anyone who has played turn-based strategy games or even video games at all. And, all of the sort of rules and math is under the hood, so to speak. So it's something that people can dive right into very quickly and start experiencing the world without, having to necessarily read hundreds of pages of rules in these elaborate rule books that we make for the tabletop. It's been designed to fit in a genre, a category of video game called tactics games, or with the longer description being turn-based strategy games. And there's a lot of people, just like you hear the term first-person shooter or something like that, like those sort of tags are things that that video game players automatically know, like kind of what to expect from the experience in general, right? So by calling it War Machine Tactics, that was a way for us to sort of brand it and say, like, it's the world is War Machine, but it's a tactics game, and you'll know you know, kind of what to expect from that, even if you don't know the world at all.
Yeah, Medal of Honor was the first-person shooter game, and we all know how successful that ended up being. I have a couple questions that came in that I want to ask you and that a couple people have sent in. They want to know if it's an open world or if it's a set world.
It's not an open world game in that sense. It's a really large world that we've developed over the last 10 years. The way the game is actually played is in a match style. So you can play either against the computer AI or you can play against a live opponent. And what you're doing is basically taking turns, maneuvering and attacking with the squad that you have built prior to the match. So so before the game, you build a squad that's composed of a bunch of different crazy characters and robots, and then you can go online and either play against a friend, or you can use our matchmaking system to find an opponent to play with. Basically once the match settings are plugged in there, you guys are playing, and the game will take anywhere from, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. Alternatively, you can play against an AI in what we call skirmish mode, which is basically the same thing as playing online, except that you're just playing against the computer AI. And then there's also a campaign experience, which is a story-driven experience where you're following a central character, and there's a degree of sort of role-playing game light skill progression as you go from sort of chapter to chapter along this campaign. And each of those chapters is played out as sort of a match style where a scenario has been set up, and it's you playing against the computer AI. But there's a lot of story going on there, so there's dialogue between the characters, and there are objectives beyond just a simple clash of arms. And by the end of this storyline, what you've done is follow a character through their heroic journey from A to Z, and you know, got to see their development and everything in the world that they impact along the way.
And then I have another question I don't even know if you can answer this yet because the game's still in development, but they're wondering if along the player's quest, if they'll be able to unlock items that they can use kind of randomly throughout the game, like a lighted sword or something like that.
Oh, the game really doesn't have gear like that. It's not like an MMO where you're sort of picking up loot and things like that. The characters have, each one has their own sort of kit and their own skills and abilities. But what we do have is an experience system. So characters do acquire experience through the course of gameplay, particularly multiplayer. This is important because every time you play a match, your characters will get experience. And once they hit certain levels, they start to unlock a couple of different things that you can use in your squad building. So we have what are called bonds and tactics. And tactics are kind of like new skills and abilities or performance upgrades that your warrior characters of your squad can plug into to that squad building to make them a little bit more efficient or to tailor them to be more specialized in certain ways. Bonds are a pretty big concept, and they're very unique to our setting. In the world of War Machine, your squad or your army is led by a character called a Warcaster, and a Warcaster is kind of a battle mage. They're superhuman and very powerful, and they have awesome weapons and armor, as well as a whole arsenal of magic spells. They've got everything you could ever want. And they also are in telepathic control of these steam-powered robots that we call Warjacks. And the Warjacks are semi-autonomous. So they don't talk, but they're more like a cross between a dog and a tank. And they are the loyal companions of the Warcaster, and the Warcaster is able to mentally command these things, as well as channel their own magical power into the Warjacks to sort of augment and boost their combat performance. And so over time, as these warcasters and warjacks survive battles together, they form a relationship, and we call that a bond. And that bond can manifest in ways that changes the behavior and the performance of the actual warjack in battle, and they may take on different kind of character traits. So where they kind of start out as these just very robotic machines, over time they start to develop personalities and quirks, and they become, you know, the relationship between that warcaster and the warjack is as close as any, you know, two battle brothers would experience over time.
All right, Matt, let's take a quick break real quick, and then we're going to come back. I have some more questions to ask you, and we'll want to talk to you about Comic-Con that's coming up. And so we're going to take a quick break. I need to play a song from Pamela Moore. She was with Queensryche. She was on the Operation Mindcrime album of the century, really, and she has a new album out called Resurrect Me, and this is Resurrect Me. I'm going to be back with Matt Wilson. We're going to answer some more questions in just a moment.
I can't remember.
Pamela Moore, formerly of Queensryche here in Seattle, one of the best albums ever, Operation Mindcrime. Pam was on that. This is her new album, Resurrect Me. I picked that song because it has that locked and loaded refrain in there, which reminded me of when I went to the Lock and Load convention that Privateer Press had about a month or so ago. Pam will be on the show next week, so we will be talking to her about her new album, That Chick Can Rock, that is for sure. I'm back with Matt Wilson, and Matt is the founder and the creative director of Privateer Press. You know I'm a huge fan. Matt's been on the show in the past. He has a huge, huge following, and I am glad to finally have caught on to this as well. I was very impressed when I went to the Locked and Load. Matt has surrounded himself with an amazing, amazing isn't even the right word because it's better than amazing. It's a talent and kind and nice people who just took the time to, for someone like me who really didn't know anything about gaming, Simon was absolutely wonderful to me. I have to say thank you to Simon for the amount of time that he spent showing me around and introducing me and basically teaching me the game from the ground up. It was absolutely just a fantastic experience. A lot of people came from all over the world to experience this. Once you're there, it makes total sense why they would be there. And I encourage you to go to privateerpress.com and keep up with what Matt and his team are doing and check out some of these lock and load type of events that they're putting on. Anyway, I'm back with Matt. We have some more questions for Matt. And the first one to comment, Matt, someone said that they had just went and saw a sample of the geography, and it was very detailed and extremely high quality. And so that's got to be a really good compliment.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and that is the talented team at White Moon Dreams, the developer that we're working with to create War Machine Tactics. They part of the reason I think that Privateer and White Moon Dreams are so compatible is because we're both so focused on the visuals, on the artwork, and the story, and so we really have a great collaboration going there. And they have just a brilliant team of artists that they have assembled over the years of building their studio, and they're bringing this world to life, in a way that we've never had the opportunity to see before. And there's no stone is left unturned, right? They're putting the same level of detail into just every square inch of what they're doing, whether it's a character. And, you know, how they're creating the textures and weathering and lighting effects on these characters or the maps that you're going to be playing this stuff out on. I mean, you can fly around in the world with the camera controls and see, like, every bit of detail anywhere. And they want you to be able to do that. So, you know, every sandbag, every stone, every blade of grass is in there. And I think it's a pretty big it might be kind of a more unique approach to this kind of game, right? I think that for these tactic style games, in general, you have a fixed camera and you don't have as much control over necessarily what you're seeing. And the point of War Machine Tactics is to really immerse you in the world as much as a tactics game can. And so they've made it beautiful. It's fantastic.
And as a Mac user, this next question is close to my heart. So people want to know, is there a Mac version as well as a PC version?
Yeah, you bet. I'm a Mac user, so that was a deal breaker if that wasn't going to happen. So we're producing this for Mac and PC. What's great is when it comes out, if your friend is a Mac person and you're a PC person or vice versa, you'll still be able to play against each other if you want to play the multiplayer together or the co-op mode. They're going to be able to talk to each other and we'll have it on both platforms.
Great one. And just a plug, I don't have any Apple stock at all. I wish I did, but once you go Mac, you never go back, because they are fantastic.
Right.
I really thought it was going to be really hard to use, like a big DOS screen was going to come up and like a big flashing black screen with a little cursor. But it, you know, and so I was really afraid when I first got my Mac, but it couldn't have been any easier. It is so, so simple. There's been this huge ruse that's been perpetrated on the public that Macs are difficult when they're extremely, extremely easy to use. That's
I'm with you. I've always been a fan. So, yep.
talk about Comic-Con, because we have a lot of questions from people who are going to Comic-Con, and they want to know if you guys are going to be there again. You usually are, so they want to know if you're going to be there and you're going to have a booth.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always there. We're usually just right down the main aisle in Hall D. Usually you can walk by Hasbro on one side, Gentle Giant on the other, and then you take another step and you'll find us.
And does Comic-Con open tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow night. I don't have the exact times. So usually Wednesday they open sometime in the afternoon between 4 and 6, I think, for what's called preview night. So that's sort of the early bird night for anybody who can get there. And then it opens again the next morning, Thursday morning.
Okay. And it runs through the weekend as well. From what I understand, this is the last time in San Diego. After all of these years, it's leaving San Diego. That's kind of sad.
Oh, I didn't know. Have they actually said so?
Well, that was the rumor that I heard, that they're moving it to Anaheim or L.A. or something. This is going to be the last year in San Diego. So, you know, I don't know. I could be wrong.
I'm not an expert, and I'm not on the frontline news, but I thought I heard that they put that to rest and that San Diego is actually expanding the convention center with a fairly significant add-on that'll keep it there for the indefinite future, which is good because we
have it there. I definitely hope so, because it started there and that's where it should be. So I hope that they did that. At least give San Diego the opportunity to, you know, to expand. I mean, Comic-Con isn't what it used to be. I went to Comic-Con way, way, way back in the 70s with my neighbor who was a Star Trek kid. And he was like 12 and I was like 12, and his parents would drop us off there for the day and then they'd come back and pick us up just to, I'm sure, get rid of us. And it wasn't like what it is now at all. Comic-Con wasn't. But I wish that I had some of that stuff left over that I threw away from Comic-Con 1974 or 75, because probably we're something now.
It might be. It definitely has changed. I started going to Comic-Con professionally in 1992. And so it's been a pretty long run there as well. And back then it was, you know, it was very much about the comic books and some collectibles and things like that. And then as comics really boomed there in the early 90s, it brought a lot more of the different mainstream media to it, and toys and collectibles started to rise. And now it's become this pop culture phenomenon that you just can't experience anywhere else.
Absolutely. I don't even recognize it anymore, but it's great that it has such a fan base, because it just opens up, you know, things like what you're doing to more and more just the general population as well. I mean, you represent a whole segment of people around the world who already know, but there's so much more through events like Comic-Con, where there's more, like you said, it's got more mainstream, where there'll be a lot more people walking by and asking questions and getting involved.
Right.
So let's see, do you have anything else that we need to talk about? I want to make sure everybody goes to privateerpress.com so that they can get samples of this stuff. They can join the Kickstarter program. And, I mean, there's not a lot of time left on it, less than a month, but they can still get in on it and be a part of this as soon as the video game drops, and they will be sent a download version of it and can start playing right away with everybody else that same day, which is exciting to be part of that world that's going to get that on that day. I can't even imagine.
Right. No, we're so excited for it. It's a great feeling to know that we have that we've achieved the level of funding that we need to make this project, and that you know, we're already working on it. So it's going to be a seamless sort of continuation of what we've been doing to, you know, going into full production on this game, and we're looking forward to the year ahead of us. So anybody that wants to check it out can either go to privateerpress.com and hit the link from there, or you can go on kickstarter.com and you can do a quick search for War Machine Tactics, and it'll bring the project right up, although we've had some feature spots on the front page lately. So you might be able to just, like, click it right from there. And then if you do go on the page, if you've never been to Kickstarter before, the first thing you'll see is a big video window, just like YouTube. You hit that play button, and you'll see a five-minute video of us showing off the game and, you know, talking about the different features and you know, kind of giving a sneak peek into what it looks like. And then if you're interested in finding out more about it, you can just scroll down the page, which is probably about a mile and a half long at this point, of just lots of information, pictures of, you know, the background of the game, the world, as well as, like, what the game's going to be like when you're able to play it. And then from there, we talk about the company, if you're interested in some of the background on Privateer Press and White Moon Dreams, why we're doing this Kickstarter, what our motivations are. And then some of the more important information is all about the rewards. And we've got lots of great images up there showing the different rewards, the different miniatures, the different digital exclusives and artwork and things like that that we're being able to offer through this project. And we've got more stuff going up over the next week or so that will add to the incentives and rewards that we have that are helping to sort of drive the funding for this project. So we've got 24 days to go. We ended just before midnight on August 9th, and I'm sure we're going to be having a great celebration at that point.
I bet you will, because this is really just an amazing community, and I am really thrilled to see such an active participation with the fans, because it really gives them even a bigger and more intense experience to be with this from the ground up. And I will say, it's a huge, huge fan base. When I had Matt on last time, I thought I was going to get decent numbers. You know, Matt and I have talked about, I mean, gamer guys and girls, they are just, I mean, I had huge numbers, like big rock star numbers. And I said, I have got to find out what's going on, because I felt like the only one in the world who didn't know at that point. And I probably basically was. And so I am really happy to be a part of this community in a small and little way, and at least help spread the word out to novices like me, because, I mean, the experts, they're already into this, and they're already loading up the Kickstarter program. But there's a lot of people like me who want to get involved as well, and it's a great fun time, and really wonderful and talented people to be exposed to. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you. And if I could say just thank you to our community that has supported us with this endeavor. It's because of them that this is possible, and so we love them for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am going to play you another one of Pamela Moore's songs real quick called Awakening, and then I'll be back in just a moment. was Pamela Moore. That chick can rock. And there's not a lot of really great women rockers, but man, Pamela, she is the real deal. I met her at Roger Fisher's birthday party in February, and she did some singing at that party too, and she was absolutely amazing. This is her new album, Resurrect Me, and that was Awakening off of that album. And I played Resurrect Me from that album previously in the break. I want to thank Matt Wilson for coming on again from Privateer Press. Be sure to go to privateerpress.com and stay up with all the great things that they are doing. They just have the most fantastic artists and creative minds working for them. It really comes out through their work. And this video game, it's getting a lot of attention from just not underground movements or independent movements. It's getting like major recognition from big time media. So it's going to be a big, big deal. It's already a big deal. They burned through their first Kickstarter goal of $550,000 in less than 35 hours. Are you kidding me? And let me tell you, when these shows go up with Matt Wilson and people from Privateer Press, big numbers. People from all over the world are really into this. And, you know, I was late to the party, but I'm certainly glad that I'm there. Pamela Moore will be on the show next week. We're going to talk to her about Operation Mindcrime and being a part of that historic album, as well as her new album. Yesterday, I had Prima Donna on. They are starting a tour tomorrow with Adam Ant. They are also just fantastic music coming from rock and roll with these guys. I'm going to go out today with Sociopath. I think I'm going to play Sociopath from Prima Donna and their Bless This Mess album, which Stevie Van Zandt called one of the top three albums of 2012. It is a great, great album. In fact, the back end of the album is just as good as the front end of the album. So make sure that you check out Bless This Mess by Prima Donna. Thanks for joining us today, and we will be back soon with more great guests. And be sure to go to privateerpress.com and follow Matt and his great group. And then you can also go to northwestprime.com for past shows. You can listen to the past interview that I did a few months ago with Matt as well, basically where he taught me gaming 101. So have a great day. And this is Sociopath by Prima Donna.
Imagine a computer.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.